town walk. I call the first stage the baby believer. The second stage is going to be called the midlife believer. And then the third stage is called the senior believer. Now, this has nothing to do with age. It has to do with your walk in the Lord. And so I think at these different stages in our walk with the Lord, different kind of staleness can develop. And so first we'll go ahead and talk about the baby believer. So when you're a baby believer, I believe you could possibly fall in between these two categories. You're either red hot on fire, reading like crazy, praying, going to every service possible, telling all your friends, all your family about the Lord. You're just in love with Jesus. The second thing, which we often see is, you know, there's people who accept that free gift of salvation. They love Jesus. They believe that he died on the cross and rose again for their sins, and they raise their hand and accept the Lord. But they get counseled, gotta read, gotta pray, gotta tell others, and maybe that doesn't happen. And so if you don't read, and you don't pray, and you're not telling others, you can't stay at that spot. Something's gonna happen. You're either gonna grow or you're gonna shrink. We sing a song with the kids at Bible Club. Says, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And so, you know what? Maybe you still have like one foot in the world and one foot, you know, loving Jesus and wanting to do good, but you still have that other foot in the world that was kind of playing tug of war, you know, one person with one arm, one person with the other, and you're just kind of, you know, there. I was at this point for a long time. As I became a teenager and grew up in the church and knew the word, I was kind of in the middle. I could do the church thing when I wanted to do the church thing, and I could do the world thing when I wanted to do the world thing. I could be two people. And as time went by, I wondered, why am I really growing? Why don't I have the faith like that person? Or why am I not, you know, doing these awesome things for the Lord? Or, you know, I've just kind of been at the same baby state for a long time. You know, you accept the Lord, you're a baby, you drink the milk, and then you grow. But some people can just stay at that milk stage for so long because they're not taking that next step of faith. Or they're liking having one foot in and one foot out and being able to do to be able to do both things. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, you don't have to pass there, but go there, but it says that we're to be transformed from glory to glory. We're to be moving on in our walk with the Lord. We never attained, we never got to that level where, you know, oh, I know it all, and I've done it all, and now I get to, you know, sit back and relax. And so at this baby stage, it was so funny when I was doing this. It brought me back from when I used to go to this Christian school. There was this song that I performed with friends called Fat Baby by Amy Grant. I don't know if anybody... And I thought about this, and I should have brought the lyrics, but it's just about a guy who's kind of pretending. It says he has his big King James Bible, and he goes in there, and he's just a fat baby. He's just, you know, just getting the milk, and that's it. And he's kind of maybe just putting a show, pretty much. He's just putting a show on for everybody, but that's about as far as he wanted to get it. And I could relate with this because I probably at the time, and being a teenager, you know, you're not really... you're just thinking, well, I'm a teenager, so this is, you know, what I do or whatever. But, you know, there you do know, too, something's not right, and either I'm going to do this all the way or either I'm going to do that all the way. And so in order to get to be transformed, to be not stuck at this level, we have to take that next step of faith. And it just reminded me of the children of Israel, how they were wandering in the desert, and the promised land was right there. But because of their whining and disobedience and just kind of, they had to stay there and just meander around that desert place. And I think we can do that. I mean, we could, this baby believer could be somebody who's known the Lord for 10 years, but they've just been meandering in this desert for a while, not taking that next step of faith. And so I think what you can do to get out of this state, we'll go ahead and go to some scriptures. Let me have you turn to 1 John 2:15. Okay, it says, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of, God abides forever. We need to not get too comfortable in this world, on this earth. This is just a passing through place. We're a pilgrim in here. We're not supposed to dig our feet deep down in the things of this world and put so much time and effort and energy in these things. You know, the economy, yeah, it's going down and we're worried, but, you know, who cares? We're going to be in heaven one day, you know, and we need to focus on things like that. We need to focus on things of eternity. We need to put our energy and our time in things that are going to last and be fruitful. And when we're still putting one foot in and one foot out, it's like we're never going to go forward. We're always going to be straddling and we're just going to stay in that position. And so I think one of the things we need to do is cut off this love for the world. We're in the world, but we should not have a love for the things in the world. The next passage I wanted to turn to is Colossians 3:8. It says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put off the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. When we receive the Lord, we know it's not of our works. It was a free gift. But after we receive this free gift, there are things the Bible tells us to do. We don't earn our salvation, but there are things that the Bible tells us to do in obedience to Him. And right here it says that we are to put off things. There's a part that we have to do. A lot of people who I talk to are waiting for the Lord to just, you know, zap them and make them good and make them do everything the right way. And they just think it's going to supernaturally happen, and they have to put no effort in it whatsoever. And this is not going to happen. You're fooling yourselves. You know, it even says that the Lord stands at the door of your heart and knocks, and you have to let Him in. He doesn't do everything. He's going to meet you there with salvation. He's going to do the 99.9% of the work. But there's stuff that you need to do in your walk with the Lord that's going to get you from that glory to glory. Keep your faith from being stagnant and just dull. These scriptures right here says to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Do not lie to one another. Put off the old man. We have this old sinful nature that we need to just push it down. We need to be feeding that new man. And what's going to grow larger in you is the one that you feed. You know, if you're feeding, if you're watching those shows, and if you're hanging out with these certain friends, and if you're doing the things, you know, why do I keep, you know, wanting to drink, but you're hanging around with all friends who drink. You know, I don't know why I like watching these TV shows, but, you know, you talk about them all day on the phone, and did you see what happened and this and that? There's so many situations, you know, I want to stop gossiping, but you're still calling your friend every time you hear anything, or, you know, whatever it may be, we need to put away that old man. There's a part that we have to do to get rid of that old side, and the way you do that is by feeding the new man, by doing the things that, you know, it says, and you have put on the new man who is renewed. It's totally different. It's totally transformed. It's not our way of thinking, not our way of doing things. And we shouldn't want to do things our way anymore, because we tried things our way, and that's why we came to Christ, because it didn't work. And so then when we come to Christ, and then we want to go back to the old way, and then we're wondering why we're miserable, it's because we need to be doing things renewed, differently, not our way, not getting together with your friends and thinking, you know, what do you think, you know, how should I handle this situation with my husband or my kids or whatever. It's a renewed, it's according to God's word. It's according to how he wants us to do things, not how Oprah wants us to do things or Dr. Bill wants us to do things. We need to be renewed by the word of God and not according to anything else but by him. 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And so we have all heard this. If we go in the mirror, and we were just eating spaghetti and have sauce all up our face, are we going to say, oh, look, I got spaghetti, and then walk away? We're going to deal with it and clean it. You know, I just had to want to make sure I'm not going to have mascara in front of you running and all that, so I'm going to clean down the, you know, you observe yourself in the mirror, you notice what's wrong, and you act upon it, you do it. This is talking here, you're hearing the word, and you're like, oh, wow, that's good, and what Pastor Brian said was neat, and Wendy, what she said, that was awesome, and then it's just one ear and out the other. You know, you're accountable for what you hear, you're accountable for what you know. You need to now act upon it. You need to be doers. You don't want to be the person who goes, oh, yeah, great, and then you go out and do exactly what you were told not to do. I mean, that is definitely going to keep your faith on the same level for a long time, because you're not doing what you're hearing. You know, how many of you guys would appreciate that out of your children? You know, that's one of the top things, right? You know, I'm telling you to do this, and you're, you know, they're hearing you, but, you know, they're not doing it, and how frustrating that, you know, is, and how frustrating, I would think, how does the Lord see it? We're his children, and we're like, oh, yeah, your word is good, it's, you know, you're first in my life, Lord, and I love you, and this and that, but then we don't do what he says. I think it has to just be like, him just going, God, when is she going to get it, you know? We have to have obedience. It's just key. We just have to have obedience. When we read his word and we hear something for us, you know, oh yeah, I need, do that in obedience. If God has put a calling in your life, check it out. Go forward with it. Don't wait, oh, I need to go to Bible ministry school, and then maybe after my kids are grown, and, you know, and all this stuff, because, you know, there's always going to be stuff in your life. There's always just going to be things happening. If God has put a calling on your life, act upon it. You will not be disappointed. Romans 12:1, we could turn there. Very familiar verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to live, we were bought with the price, we were bought with the blood of Jesus. We are not our own. We are to be a living sacrifice acceptable to God. And in here Paul says, it is your reasonable service. I feel like it's our get-to service. You know, we get to live for Him. We get to bless Him. We get to worship Him. We get to serve Him. We get to minister to others, you know, for Him. It's your reasonable service. You know, you didn't have to pay the death price for your sin. He paid it for you. It's your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world. Again, we're talking about the world. Don't get too comfortable with it. Don't be conformed by its customs and its ways and, oh, now this is how we do things. And but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So many things take place in our mind. There's so many things that we need to change. We've all grew up in different homes, in different thoughts, and you know, some of us, you grew up in homes where you thought this is how marriage was supposed to be, or this is how, you know, my parents went to church, and you know, this is what they did, and you kind of get your growing up your ways of how to do things, and you think that's how it should be, but we're to have a renewing and changing. And that's where a lot of things are going to start, is in our mind and in our heart. If renewing and change isn't done there, everything else is just probably going to be an act in your life. You're probably just going to go along with the motions. But if there's not a renewing and a change, transformation in your mind and in your heart, you're probably just going to be acting out the motions. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me have you turn to Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You are to be fully pleasing Him, not yourself. I think in this baby believer stage, we need to remind ourselves that it's not about us and God, what are you going to do for me? But we are to be fully pleasing to Him. Being fruitful. We need to bear fruit in our lives. We can't be fruitless. If we're walking in His ways, if we're being doers of the Word, if we're putting off things that He's told us to do, if we're being obedient, if we're being transformed, there is no way you're going to be stagnant in your walk. There is no way that you're not going to go to that next level. So I encourage you, you know, those of you who might say, you know what, this baby believer kind of sounds like me, I encourage you to, you know, to take it to the next level. Take that step of faith. Don't be meandering in that baby believer, drinking the milk too much longer. It's time for you to, in your mind and in your heart, be transformed and be renewed so that you could see what the Lord has for you and be fully pleasing to Him. I put down here that at this stage of your Christianity is when the people who really know you should say, you're different, you've changed. So if you've been a believer and you haven't really got that from the people who are around you, you got to kind of, you know, because the people who are around you should see these fruits and evidence in your life. When I talk to people and I pray with them and they say, oh yeah, people are just saying, you know, like, oh, you've changed, you're different. It's like, you know, they're doing the full thing. They're being the way they should be, not just at church, but at home and in the workplace and everywhere. So if people that are close to you would say, no, I don't really see no difference. She's still, you know, behaving the same way, still angry all the time, yelling all the time, cussing all the time, doing the same old things, nothing's changed. You know, that should make you say, wow, you know, the Lord came in to give you you know, change and new life and abundant life. And if we're living the same exact way with just fire insurance, you know, the Lord has way, way more for you there. So next I want to go ahead and go to the midlife believer. And this I kind of categorized as you may be somebody who's been a believer for a while. You may be serving at church, involved in church, a regular at church. You know, everybody knows your name. You come in and, hey, how's it going? And you get all the hugs and you're known there. But you may have been, you may be in a rut. And I think everybody eventually falls into this stage where you've been a Christian for a while. You love the Lord. You're following Him. You're in your Word. But there gets a time where maybe you just start slacking off. Your devotion time starts slacking. Your prayer time is not what it used to be. You're even letting subtle sin creep in. I know when you're a new believer, you just want to get rid of any little sin possible. You know, any little thing out there, you know, hey, God's Word's, you know, when you're sold out for the Lord, hey, this is what God's Word said, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. And sometimes as you become that midlife believer, you're like, well, that TV show ain't that bad. You know, I was getting real legalistic. And, you know, I used to, you know, say no rated R, but, you know, it's just, it's okay now. You know, I'm mature. I could see those things, you know. I could have a drink or two. It's not, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine, so don't freak out. And, you know, you just kind of start getting a little lax in your walk, and you're not on guard. And we're supposed to, you know, guard our heart and mind. And then you wonder, you find yourself like, wow, I'm not that excited anymore. I'm not that, you know, there's things going on in church, maybe a missions trip, maybe, you know, BBS or things, and it's like, I've done that. I've tried that, you know. And you're just kind of, you know, stuck at that stage. And I'm just thinking, think of the new believers who are around you seeing that, you know, attitude. They're all excited. And you're like, oh, yeah, I've done all those things you've done. I've tried that ministry. And I've been there and done that. And what I have for you is Revelation 2:2. Revelation 2, chapter 2, verse 2 says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have been patient, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And so notice here, he has a lot of things to say that are good. I've noticed you've done this, I've noticed you've done that, and you've done this, and that's good. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. And it says we need to repent from that. It's not just, oh, I lost my first, you know, I kind of haven't been giving him that time. Kind of reminds me of that little booklet on My Heart, Christ Home. And you're just kind of avoiding him and not having your devotions, not spending that time with him. And take it casually, you know, that is something that we need to repent of. That is sinful to not have him as our first love. So we need to, it says we need to repent and do our first works. So remember when I was talking about the baby believer and said that we had to, you know, that the way that we should be excited, telling everybody about the Lord, reading our Bible with passion and praying for everybody that we can pray for and wanting to see what can I get involved in. We got to remember those first works and not compromise with those subtle sin and remember the joy that you had when you first loved him, when you first served him, and the things that you did, and that how you were blessed just to be saved. You're blessed to just be called his child. And so you don't have to turn to this scripture, but I have you could jot it down. It's Hebrews 12:1. It says, we need to lay aside every weight. So anything that's hindering us from coming to him, we need to do. We need to set aside everything that's going to keep us from having that devotional time, that relationship. You know how we like to say, oh, it's not about a religion, it's all about a relationship. Well, we need to rekindle our relationship with the Lord. Repent and go back and do those first works that we did to spark that fire and that love relationship that we had with the Lord. And if we could turn to Luke chapter 7, reminded me of the song we just sang again. And so that's why it's just really touched me, all this coming together. But in Luke chapter 7, verse 37, it says, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping as she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And we just need to be at his feet. We need to be loving him because he first loved us. And he is just an awesome and amazing God. And how could we not spend that time with him? How could we pass him by in our daily life? I know we could, and we do, but we need to notice it and act upon it. We need to say, yeah, you know, if you're saying, yeah, that could be me, fine, okay, repent and get back to your first works. Let's move on. Let's not sit and wallow in it. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's be those who diligently seek him. I think that at this stage of your Christianity, you need to find a good balance of being a Mary and a Martha. And I think that's what sometimes gets us to that stagnant point, is we're, you know, maybe being a Martha in the ministry or a Martha in our walk, and, you know, doing, because we've been, you know, involved and around that, we're being a Martha, you know, a Martha. But we can't just be a Mary. There has to be a balance between the both. We have to find that balance. And we should always check ourselves to see that if we do have that balance in our lives, that we're having that balance in this middle stage believer life, and which I think is probably the biggest stage in our life, the longest portion, the long haul, the long run, and just, you know, running that race and keeping on running and enduring and just remembering to put Jesus in that first place, and he's your first love, and keeping him first and not just saying it with your words, but really, you know, putting him in the place where he should be. And so in our next stage, our senior believer, this is a stage where you're going to church, but you're kind of in retirement mode. You feel like, I've done ministry, I've been here quite a while, I've done it all, and now I just want to kind of do the leisure activities, you know, I want to do the fun things, and I just kind of want to lay back. I've done, you know, a lot of stuff, and now it's just time for me to enjoy my Christianity and, you know, let the new believers do all that, you know, passing out flyers and witness and do all that kind of stuff, and I'm just going to kind of, you know, relax and be on that kickback kind of mode. What I have for this, and I won't have us turn to this, because I know that we're all probably very familiar with the story of David and Bathsheba. And so when I thought about this mode, of course, you remember when David was, it was at a time of war, and it's when kings should be at war, And David decided that he wasn't going to go. He was just going to kind of stay back at the palace. And, you know, my guys will take care of that, and they'll deal with that there. And, of course, that's the time when he fell into sin with Bathsheba, looking at her, which he shouldn't have been, and then calling her, and you know, the rest of what happened. So we should never be laid back in our walk with the Lord. We should never have that leisurely kickback mode, no matter how long you've been a believer. I just spoke with, I was at Calvary Chapel Monrovia's Valentine's party, and I spoke to a man there who was in his 80s, who was, you know, telling me, oh yeah, you know, back in the days this would happen, and, you know, the walk of being a believer for so many years, and he says, and then, you know, I'm ready for the Lord whenever he has me, and, you know, and wondering, like, okay, Lord, when, you know, when is it going to be? And he said, and my neighbor got really sick, and I've been talking to my neighbor for forever about the Lord, and he's just never, you know, never wanted to accept the Lord. And he said, and one day I just went to his house, and I knew he was, I forgot what he felt ill of. And he said, I told him, you know, when are you just going to accept the Lord? When are you just going to let him into your life? And when are you going to be ready? And he says, I'm ready. Well, what do I need to do? And he got to lead somebody to the Lord in his 80s. And he thought, wow, but he was just, he seemed like a young man, like, you know what, I thought maybe that's why the Lord keeps, you know, keeps me here longer. You know, maybe the Lord's keeping me, maybe kept me there for that. And I said, hey, there may be more. You know, you're not with the Lord until you're with the Lord. Until you're with him, there's work to be done. He has you here for a reason. And so that was just an awesome of an example of not being in that retreat mode and just always advancing and going forward. And what I would say to you women who may be in that senior believer stage is the young women of the faith need you so much. We desire to have those Titus 2 women around us that we can glean from, that we can see an example. Know that you're being watched. And you can, and you're, and the people around you can tell whether you're that, wow, that lady is, her faith is strong, and I want to go to her for prayer, or whether you're just kind of like a fun gal to be around, or just there. You know, you're just there. And, you know, I would say, you should be able to be like Paul in Philippians 3:17 when he says, join in following my example. You should be able, if you've been a believer, a seasoned believer, you should be able to lead by your example. You should be able to say, follow my example. You should be able to say that. And one beautiful story that I like is the story of Anna, which is found in Luke 2. If you could turn there. Luke 2:37. Even though I said it doesn't have anything to do with age, Anna was an older lady. And it says here in Luke 2:37, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart for the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And it just blesses my heart when I read this about Anna. There's just this little portion of her in the Bible, and I just think, how awesome. Her life was just for the Lord. And here it says that she was a widow about 84 years, so I'm not really sure how old that makes her, if she's been a widow for 84 years, if I'm reading that correctly. And it says she served the Lord day and night, and it says, and she spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She didn't say, well, I'm old, let the young people take care of that, let them, you know, deal with that. In her late years, she was still speaking of him to all who looked for redemption. And I would just encourage you with that. You know, don't, you know, once again, the younger women of the faith need you. We need your example. We need your counsel. please don't go into to a retreat mode. Step up and just be that example that we need. And in my closing, I just wanted to say kind of what I think this all comes down to in our subject, avoiding a stagnant faith. To avoid a stagnant faith really comes down to understanding grace. If we remember that we are but dust, and we are a simple people who deserve death, but that God loved us so much that he sent his son, that we wouldn't have to be eternally separated from him, because he loved us so much that he wanted us to be with him, so he made a way, and he sent his son who would pay the price, that if we would just believe, we could spend that eternity with Jesus. And when we understand, we were just speaking on grace at our church, and Danny had wrote this, what is it, an acronym? For grace of God's riches at Christ's expense. And when you think about grace, when you think, I have all of God's riches, and it was all at Christ's expense, when you understand grace, how could you have a stagnant faith? To people who are in a stagnant faith, I think you don't understand grace. You don't understand the love that God has for you. You don't understand the good things that he has awaiting for those who love him. When you understand his love and his grace and his mercy, you want to do nothing but fully surrender your life to him and say, here I am. And there's not enough hours in a day to spend time with him or to be doing his will. You're just his. You know, you're that bond slave. Saying, here, take me, you know. Not only does he show us his amazing love through his son, but he also gives us his word that gives us so many promises. And I just jotted down a few promises here. It says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. He will supply all of your needs. Philippians 4:19. He will never leave you. Hebrews 13:5. He will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. He will give you an abundant life. John 10:10. He will not withhold any good thing from you. Psalms 84:11. He will give you peace. Numbers 6:26. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Isaiah 54:17. Fear not, for he is with you. Isaiah 41:10. He is your refuge and your strength. Psalm 46:1. He is there to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. He intercedes for you. Romans 8:34. He has loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8:39. And no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 2 Corinthians 2:9. When you think of a God like this who gives you so many promises, his promises are not empty. They are true, and you can count on them, and they're there all the time. And this amazing love and grace and mercy. And he meets us where we're at. He's never there to point fingers. He's never to say, well, you've rededicated your life too many times, and that's your limit. He's always meeting you there. I think when you come to that point to where you just understand that and take that to heart, there's no way that your walk with the Lord could ever be stagnant. It's going to be red hot and on fire. And whenever you get in those modes, just check yourself. Hey, you know what? Gotta examine myself, and you know what? I'm falling short here, or I'm doing this, or I haven't been spending my quiet time with the Lord. And you know what? Get back to those first words. Don't get down on yourself. Don't stay there. Move and do what you need to do. I wanted to leave off with this acronym for faith, since it's How to Avoid a Stagnant Faith. So if you could write F-A-I-T-H down that way. For F, you're going to write forsaking. For A, you're going to write all. For I, it's I. T is take. H is him. How could you not live your life for him? How could you have a lukewarm faith? You need to follow this acronym for faith. Forsaking all, I take him.